Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Smart Marks of Wrestling podcast presented by thesportster.com. It is episode 28, and on episode 28, we're going to focus a lot on SmackDown Live's move to Fox. We're going to focus on Raw and what looks to be quite a few changes there. We've got the draft coming up. We've got some announcer changes in the WWE, and we've got all sorts of stuff to go through, and we're going to do that. Again, I'm flying solo this week, but we're going to have some fun anyway. See if we can cover a few topics. So on the 28th episode of the Smart Marks of Wrestling podcast, we got all sorts of WWE news to cover as we move to Fox. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Smart Marks Wrestling podcast presented by thesportster.com and on anchor.fm. Yes, that's right. You can listen to us in a number of different platforms. Anchor.fm is where we host the show. There's also Podbean, Spotify, Apple, iTunes, podcasts, thesportster.com, wrestlingwriteups.com, Facebook pages, Twitter pages. Try to download us there. YouTube as well. We're going to put the episodes up there if we can. So make sure you listen to it, subscribe to it, download it, rate it. Share it with everybody the minute that you do. It's great for us, so we appreciate you doing that and listening to it. We've got a ton of stuff to go through, but we're going to focus most of the show today on what's happening with SmackDown Live, which will now be Friday night SmackDown on Fox. There's a bunch of changes. WWE has been working towards those changes for a really long time. There's tons of news coming out about the show. There's tons of news in Raw. There's tons of news in the WWE in general. The roster changes. Everything is going on. So we're going to try to run through that. Our recaps for today on SmackDown and Raw are not going to be all that in-depth, to be honest with you, because it's not even the big news this week. The big news, of course, is the fact that we're the second weekend for NXT Live on USA. We're now moving to Fox on Friday for SmackDown Live. Raw is getting new sets, new logos, new changes. That's the focus of today's show, so we're going to do a whole bunch of stuff there. One of the big things that's coming out here is just the amount of people that are going to be showing up on the Friday Night SmackDown episode. And one of those names confirmed for the show, Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's been back a few times lately. He's been getting a little bit more physical in the ring. He took a stunner from Becky Lynch not too long ago. He did a promo on Raw, which everybody loved. People were eating out of the palm of his hand. He had him, had no real plan for that promo, just a few minutes. He, on the cuff, he just hit everybody wowed. And people love Stone Cold Steve Austin. So he's going to be on the show on Fox on the debut on October 4th. Ric Flair's going to be there. Hulk Hogan's going to be there. But when we're talking about Steve Austin, there's a huge question that's circulating the internet right now, social media. We wrote an article about it on thesportster.com. It is whether or not Stone Cold Steve Austin could or would ever have another match in WWE. And he actually addressed that on his podcast, the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast on Podcast One this week. And this is what he had to say about that.
Down there at the Raw reunion in Tampa, down there at the Madison Square Garden show at Monday Night Raw a couple weeks ago, people always ask me, "Are they, hey, man, you're still in really good shape. You got one more match left in you." And I tell him, man, I say, it's a tough thing to think about. Physically, would I be capable of having one more match? Yes, most definitely. And I could make it through that match without being injured, although the risks are always there just because I think all the surgeries that I had, the fusion, opening up the where I had the spinal stenosis and getting that bone spur taken off my spinal cord, I'm in a good place. Nerves feel a lot better than they used to. So, you know, in theory, could I have a match? In theory, yes.
Very interesting comments from Stone Cold Steve Austin there. And of course, the entire wrestling community, the internet community for WWE fans is all wondering and they're all debating whether or not Stone Cold Steve Austin should have another match. Now, the question is, if he thinks he's healthy enough, does that mean he's actually healthy enough? And what are the risks involved in him getting in the ring? Oof, it's a tough one. Like, really, do you want to risk it? I mean, Stone Cold Steve Austin coming back to the WWE and having even just one more match would be amazing. People would go crazy for it. Imagine if it was at a WrestleMania. People would just lose their minds. They would line up. Tickets would sell out immediately. Everybody wants to see that match. But Are they wanting to see it at the risk of Stone Cold Steve Austin's health? And that's a huge question. One that he's always got in the back of his mind. He knows how many surgeries he's been through. He knows the issues. He knows the risks. Does he want to do it? He seems to be getting the itch, man. With the amount of times that he's been coming back to Raw lately. Now, obviously, money's money and WWE's paying him to make those appearances and stuff like that. But he seems to be loving it. He loves getting involved with it. He loves doing the interviews. He's really, when you hear his promos, he's like super emotional about this stuff. He really loves hanging out with Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan and all these guys. He seems to have an itch for this business still. And you can just sort of see and feel the fact that he might want to come back and wrestle again. So if he does, and this may be a long shot, maybe he just brought this up and didn't realize how big this story this would become, but who would he wrestle? That's what I want to know. Like, who would you put him in the ring with? Now, there's the marquee ability of that match. Do you want to, you know, there used to be the Stone Cold Steve Austin Rock matches. There used to be Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Undertaker matches. There used to be Shawn Michaels and Stone Cold. Is there anybody in WWE right now that has that draw ability with Stone Cold Steve Austin? Doesn't matter. Maybe Stone Cold Steve Austin against anybody's a big deal. So who'd you put him in there? For me, you want to put him in there with somebody safe, whether that's AJ Styles or Dolph Ziggler or whomever on the roster is known as being the consummate professional, the ultimate worker, the guy who never hurts anybody. There's a guy like Bret Hart that used to say he spent however many years doing this and never hurt a single person. No. That's the guy you want to put in the ring with Stone Cold Steve Austin, and he can sell the rest of that promo. So for me, AJ Styles is the guy that I would go with, but I'm curious, if you had a chance to put him in there with anybody, who would it be? So that's a really big question and something that people are really debating on the internet right now. So Stone Cold Steve Austin is going to be on SmackDown Live on the Fox episode on October 4th, but he ain't the only one who's coming. Hulk Hogan's coming, Ric Flair is coming. There's a lot going on SmackDown this week. One of the matches is now confirmed for that show. Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon in a career versus career ladder match. So basically, SmackDown Live ended on Tuesday with Owens saying, well, Shane McMahon tried to get rid of the lawsuit. He just said, here's my guys, here's the deal. You go away, you drop this lawsuit, I'll reduce your $100,000 fine and I'll hire you back. And Owens is like, you're an idiot. This is not what I want. What I want is you gone. So if we're going to have to do this, let's do it this way. Let's have a match. I win, you go. I can fire you. If I lose, I'm out, and you'll never hear from me again. So now it's career versus career match, and that's going to be happening on that episode of the SmackDown Live, or Friday Night SmackDown. Of course, Kofi Kingston and Brock Lesnar is going to be happening on that show. This show is stacked. This show is going to be huge. There's lots of returns. There's lots of matches, and there's going to be some surprises, too. I mean, we just found out today that John Morrison, Johnny Nitro, Johnny Monday Night Raw, Johnny Raw, like all these, he's back. He's signed with WWE, it looks like, and he's going to be debuting here. His 90-day non-compete clause with Impact, if he had one, I don't even know if he had one, but it would have expired around October 7th, around this time. So he might be coming back on that episode of SmackDown. He might be coming back this week. You never know. He might be coming back right after that. Hard to say, but it looks like he's coming back. So that's a big deal, too. SmackDown is going to get a ton of new stuff. The new logos, we've already seen new graphics being toyed with on SmackDown Live. We've seen, you know, the roster is going to be shaken up with the draft coming up here. So that's all going to be really interesting to see what happens here. And in Canada, where we are, and Brandon and I talked about it last week, and NXT has been a real pain in the butt. We've had to watch it a day after because it's on the WWE Network on Thursdays and not live on Wednesdays. There's no way to watch that show here in Canada, but SmackDown is going to be a whole different story. The Sportsnet 360, which airs SmackDown and Raw, are going to shuffle their lineup. So if everything from SmackDown on Wednesday will be moved to Friday. So if you're Canadian and you're listening to this podcast and you love that show, well, you don't have to worry. It's moving to Fridays. The lineup will be Aftermath, which is kind of the intro show, SmackDown. They're going to do NXT, and then they're going to have Main Event. So they've got a full run of programming on Friday nights. So if you want to sit down and you want to watch 4 or 5 hours worth of wrestling on Friday nights in Canada, you can do it now. So that's going to be starting on October 4th as well. So there's a whole bunch of stuff going on here.
Ryan Popola for WWE Now with exciting new info on the commentary teams for Raw, NXT, and Friday Night SmackDown. Calling the action on the Raw side of things every Monday night moving forward will be Vic Joseph, Dio Madden, and WWE Hall of Famer Jerry the King Lawler. NXT will continue to be guided by Mauro Ranallo, Beth Phoenix, and Nigel McGuinness every Wednesday night live on USA Network. And Fox's Friday Night SmackDown will feature Michael Cole handling play-by-play, Corey Graves serving as an analyst, and Renee Young as a special contributor.
Now, I had to play that clip because that's the announcement, the official announcement from WWE as to who will be making their changes and debuts on each show for the announced teams. We knew that there were some changes coming. We had heard that Renee Young was going to SmackDown, that Michael Cole was probably going to SmackDown. We knew Corey Graves might stay on one show. So it kind of made sense that Corey Graves, Michael Cole, and Renee Young would wind up on SmackDown together. Then we'd heard Vic Joseph was coming over from 205 Live. So that's not news. But here's the big thing that has really got people up in arms right now. Jerry Lawler's back. Not that I have any real issue with Jerry Lawler, but he's like been gone for a while, and nobody's really missed him all that much. Like, he's entertaining, but he's kind of old news. He's back on Raw, so they gave him a huge spot. And to get him in there, they moved Tom Phillips and Byron Saxton. Like, what are they doing? That's crazy. And people are just going to lose their mind over the fact that Tom Phillips, of both of those people, I like Byron Saxton too, but I mean, really, who we're talking about here is Tom Phillips. He's the guy that has play-by-play on SmackDown. He is, if not the best, one of the best announcers, play-by-play guys that WWE has, and now he's out of a job. Now, he's not gone. He's going to stay with WWE, and the last thing that we've heard is that he's going to be a producer of some kind. But, I mean, this is crazy. He's probably the best guy of everybody on all three shows combined, unless you love a guy like Mauro Ranallo, and some people really do. He's a, you know, give or, you know, take it or leave it kind of guy. You either really, really love him or you're not a big fan. But Tom Phillips is kind of universally liked by everybody. He's a guy that is really well-rounded. He's entertaining. He's not boring. He does his job well. He's super consistent, and they're getting rid of him. Where are they putting him? Like, this is crazy to me. And the fact that Jerry Lawler, I feel bad for him because he's going to have to take this place of Phillips, and people are going to hate this, but you can see it already on social media, on the internet, that people are going nuts. Like, that Jerry Lawler is the guy who's taking essentially Tom Phillips' job, and he's not anywhere to be seen now. Like, there's a studio show coming up for FS1 that has Booker T and Renee Young on it. Phillips is gone. Like, he's just not around. Neither is Byron Saxton, and that's a shame too, because he's pretty good and they're a good pairing. And so, but where's he going to go? I have no idea. That's a massive change coming for WWE right now with their announced teams, and I don't like it. And I think a lot of people don't like it. So I'm not really sure what they're thinking. I have to assume at some point Phillips is going to pop up here somewhere else and do something else. And producer's a pretty loose term in WWE. There are so many different definitions of what a producer might do. You know, Bruce Pritchard's a producer. Michael P.S. Hayes is a producer. Shawn Michaels is a producer. These guys are all producers. Like, what do they actually do? We don't know. And why would Phillips be moving to that? Like, he's so good. I can't wrap my head around this decision. So whether this lasts or not, who knows? And whether this was a USA sort of Fox decision and why they're doing what they're doing, I don't have a clue why they're doing what they're doing. But that's big news. That came out today, officially announced this morning by WWE. So that's kind of a shocker. What do you think? Like, do you have any input on this? We're going to do a video here this week for thesportster.com asking that exact question. What is going on with Tom Phillips? Is he the guy who, with all these changes, is getting screwed the most? I think he is, but we don't know what his future is. We don't know what's coming up. So, but it is interesting. So I'm not really sure exactly where they're going with this, but I'm not a fan.
There's always room for one more.
In other news, there is all right, listen to that clip and tell me if the first female laugh you hear is the same as the second and third female laugh that you hear. I'm going to play it again for you one more time. Here's the first laugh. And here's the second laugh. So thank you to Bordeaux Section on Twitter, at Bordeaux Section on Twitter, for that post. That is a mashup, so to speak, of the Bray Wyatt Firefly Funhouse episode where there was a female laugh in it, and Liv Morgan, who has laughed in other videos and other tweets and things like that. Those are two laughs mashed together to show you that they are very, very similar. And here's the theory. Liv Morgan, of all people, might be, and the theory here is, and the rumor may be, that they're setting something up between Liv Morgan and Bray Wyatt and joining the Firefly Funhouse and changing her character. We all know that she lost a match to Charlotte Flair on SmackDown, and she kind of freaked out and went to the announce table and said, when I come back, I'm going to be real. And then she had some cryptic tweets on social media where she was kind of like sitting in the rain, really all funky and weird. And she had a couple in the last 2 days, you know, just scars you can't see, and just a strange, really cryptic tweets that are sort of suggesting something's coming. And of course, with all these changes on networks and what have you, it seems like perfect timing to do something. And Wyatt might need that, whether he's going to get it before Hell in the Cell or he's going to get it, who knows. But the idea might be here that if you've noticed, Wyatt has two gloves. He's got a hurt glove and a heel glove. And everybody he's had interactions with, whether it's Kane, Jerry Lawler, Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, he hurts everybody. Like, that's the deal. But when are we going to see the heel? You know, not heel as in villain, heel as in make someone feel better. The heel Bray Wyatt, the heel The Fiend, the guy who's going to help somebody. Now, wouldn't it be interesting if Liv Morgan was that person, if she was so distraught and such a mess and sitting in the rain and scars that you can't see and just a disaster, needs to change, needs to be real. Well, what if Wyatt has offered her the opportunity to fix her and she's going to come and work with him? Now, I love the idea if this is where it's going. Now, this could be a real long shot. This is just a theory by somebody being put together on Twitter. There's no real basis for this, but it makes a lot of sense when you look at it. And it wouldn't be awesome if there was something going on here. And now, I am, for one, a huge fan of Liv Morgan. The laugh itself, if you've ever watched like the watch-along shows and stuff, it's quite annoying. But if used in the right way, it could be very good. So if this is something that they're thinking about doing, I'm all for it. This is a superstar in Liv Morgan who has been very underrated, hasn't been used properly since being called up to the main roster. The Riot Squad was cool, but it didn't really showcase her. And she might be, of those three people, the one who could really do a lot. So if you put her with Wyatt, this is a massive opportunity for her. Like, this is a huge deal. He may be the most popular person in WWE right now. You put anybody with him, it's pure gold. Well, Liv Morgan has the potential to really kind of play this up. If you get the image of like the Harley Quinn type character that she could do, you know, other stuff like that, like she really could hit this one out of the park if they give her the ball and let her run with it. And so you got Wyatt helping her out. I mean, this could be a home run if this is what they're doing. Who knows if this is what they're doing, but it's a very cool theory. Thank you to Bordeaux Section on Twitter for that clip, but man, will that be cool if that happens. Here's a development I'm not really sure that I love yet. I mean, all credit to where credit goes. Daniel Bryan may be the one guy in WWE who can flip-flop between heel and babyface on the drop of a dime, and people will buy it. I mean, he's that good. No matter what character you give him, no matter what direction you take him, people love him. Like, whether he's a heel, you just love to hate him, and you love him anyway. Or he's a babyface, you can immediately forget everything that he did that was heelish and totally cheer for him. And that's exactly what's just happened on SmackDown Live. This whole Eric Rowan, Luke Harper thing has turned on Daniel Bryan. He's not the heel anymore. He's sort of inexplicably out of this whole picture. We don't know why. We don't know why Eric Rowan double-crossed him. We have no idea. But what we do now know is that Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns will team up at Hell in a Cell in a couple weeks' time to take on Harper and Rowan. Interesting choice. Reigns came down to make the save for Bryan at the end of the match when Rowan and Harper were trying to double-team and take him out. And now they're partners. So really scary spot, too, by the way. I don't know if you saw this on SmackDown, but Rowan went to chokeslam Daniel Bryan into the ring, and his foot got caught in the top and second rope. Oh, yikes. I mean, that was not on purpose. That was a total botched spot. I mean, it was nobody's fault, but it was just bad. Like, it was not good. And, man, Daniel Bryan, if he's not seriously hurt, was lucky to walk away from that without any permanent ligament damage or an ankle problem. That's not good. That was a total fluke, weird thing that happened. Daniel Bryan is very lucky to have walked away from that without an issue. So, thank you for not having him be hurt on that one. But that was ugly when it happened. But Reigns and Bryan now going to be a team against Harper and Rowan. That'll be happening at Hell in a Cell. So now we have three official matches for Hell in a Cell. We've got Harper and Rowan against Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns. We've got Bray Wyatt versus Seth Rollins in Hell in a Cell, and we've got Sasha Banks versus Becky Lynch in Hell in a Cell. We're a little early to do predictions, but here's the take I've got so far. One, it's Wyatt over Seth Rollins. Two, it's Sasha Banks over Becky Lynch. And three, it's going to be Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns over Harper and Rowan. Now, that may change as these episodes of SmackDown and Raw move forward and developments happen that maybe suggest otherwise, but that's my early predictions pick. We'll see if I stick with it or not as we get into the shows. I may not be here next week, actually. Brandon may be taking over the show for me just because I'm going on vacation. I'll be on the road and driving, and I may not be able to record from there, but he'll have the prediction show for Hell in a Cell. Hopefully, I'll get a chance to be a part of it, but that's my early prediction so far in case I don't get a chance to do them next week. But man, Hell in a Cell has kind of been forgotten about and put on the back burner a little bit just because of all the changes with the TV shows. But clearly they will do some stuff this week to further that, to make that show, you know, worth watching for sure. I mean, just the Wyatt and Hell in a Cell thing, that's going to make the pay-per-view worth watching by itself. But it should be interesting to see where they go with it and what else they add to that card. No, I got to tell you a funny story. So I'm sitting in my office, I'm doing some work, I'm writing some stuff, and my wife calls me from the kitchen of their house, and she goes, "Hey, Jim, have you ever heard of this Evans person wrestling, this Evans?" And I'm like, yeah, immediately I knew it was Lacey Evans. She's like, "Did you see what happened to her in the news?" And so she shows me this article. So that's the basis of this thing. Just so that you have an idea where this is going, my wife read the story, and because she's not a wrestling fan, she doesn't know the kind of the background of what this might look like. So she thought this was a true, legit news story about the superstar Lacey Evans. So I have to play this audio clip that I absolutely am in love with. It's a few days old now. The story is kind of come and gone, but man, is it good. Take a listen to this.
But are you serious right now? That's not a citation, is it?
No, it's a violation ticket for speeding, Lacey. It's you, Lacey, right?
Do you know who I am?
I have no idea.
Well, I'm Lacey Evans, and I do not rate that ticket, so you can go ahead.
Lacey Evans.
WWE superstar, and you should know exactly who I am.
Sorry, ma'am, I don't. So here's the ticket. Information on the back.
You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
So, you nasty thing. I'll pay the ticket.
Okay, well, have a good day.
Well, don't. You have a terrible day, sir. Canada is terrible, and I can't wait to get back.
Welcome to Edmonton.
Oh, you've got to be kidding this nasty.
Okay, so that's Lacey Evans, WWE superstar, dealing with an Edmonton RCMP officer. She and the WWE were traveling through Western Canada. They did a stop in Calgary, live events in Edmonton, and apparently she got pulled over for a speeding ticket, and this is the video that she posted of her interaction with the officer, which when people saw this, I'm in Edmonton, this is where I'm recording the podcast from, so I know this area really well. The local news here went nuts with this story. I mean, it was all over. We have news stations called CFRN and Global TV and all this stuff. They just covered it like crazy, and many people thought it was real. And it wasn't just about people in Edmonton thinking that it was real and that she might be disrespecting an Edmonton officer. There was a lot of fans, wrestling fans, who heard this thing and thought it was real. I mean, within 24 hours, it had over 2 million views. I mean, at this point, if you're looking at the account, it's got 2.83, almost 3 million views now. I mean, this was a video that she put together. I mean, it got so much heat and so much backlash that she actually had to come back out on Twitter and talk about it and say, look, you guys, like, I'm a former officer myself, I'm a former Marine, I would never actually disrespect an officer this way, and if you ever were to do that, you would hear it from me. But this was staged. This was something that I set up with the officer that we're having some fun with. I'm promoting the show at Edmonton, we're trying to sell tickets to this thing, we're really just trying to create some viral buzz, and this is exactly what happened. I'm glad you were entertained by it, but this was not real, and people thought it was. So one, anybody who was up in arms about this thing needs to cool right off. It was silly and fun and awesome. Two, this may make me the biggest fan of Lacey Evans that there is right now. She is a genius. This was awesome. If you're an employee for WWE or a subcontractor, whatever you want to technically call these people, this is exactly how you do this, especially if you're her and you're not on TV every week and you're looking for an opportunity to get noticed and publicized. WWE loves this stuff. I mean, they absolutely are probably cheering her like gold right now because she got so much attention for that show. Whether it actually sold tickets or not, who knows, but you get what she's trying to do here. She got so much attention on it. This press was unbelievably good for WWE, even though it was centered around, but she's a heel, she's a villain, she's supposed to be a bad guy, right? Like, that's the character she's playing. She pulled it off perfectly. Kudos to the officer for playing along. And then Natalia kicked in and actually said, yeah, of course she knows. He knows who you are. He's my cousin. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, but they were playing off of this whole thing. I mean, this is exactly the way that you blur the lines from reality to character-driven stuff in WWE. This is perfect. This is old-school stuff. This is exactly what it used to be like all the time when no one ever broke kayfabe. It was awesome. So good. I love it. I just laugh at the people who saw this video, and especially in my local area, that just were all up in arms about the fact that she treated this officer so badly. I saw this and immediately knew this was not real. This was no way she was going to do this and then post it on Twitter on her own account and brag about how she was talking to her. Because I knew she was a former officer and a former Marine, so I'm like, there's no way she's doing that, right? So, perfect. Unbelievable. Kudos to you, Lacey Evans. You get the clap. Very well done. I shouldn't probably say you get the clap because that sounds really bad, but you get the slow golf applause. That was well done, Lacey Evans. So that's how it's supposed to be done, folks. This is the heel playing the heel role, promoting the show, doing her job, and making it fun. And that's exactly how this should be done. So kudos to you. You may now be the best heel in WWE. Awesome. Now, here's somebody that I'm not a huge fan of, and people love it, but I don't know. Opposite of what Lacey Evans is, just Kenny Omega. If you've been watching these videos that he's been having, one, he made some comments about NXT and their debut on the USA Network, and he said that they're basically a developmental brand, so they're not even on the same planet as each other, and you can't compare the two. He went to make comments that the guys in the main event on the NXT show would be the dark match or opening match of his main event on an AEW card because they actually put stars on their show. That was kind of a low blow, and for a guy who is constantly saying there's no war between these two companies, when you're going to trash talk the other company, you're kind of starting the war, so I don't really get that. But Kenny Omega's full on heel now, because not only did he not apologize for those comments, but he made another video on Being the Elite on the YouTube channel where he started to apologize, but it was all in character, and then the camera kept rolling, and he looked at the people in the room when the camera was supposed to have cut, and then he trashed them again. He doubled down, and he made more comments about NXT, called them idiots, SOBs, used some pretty foul language in the video itself. He's going full on in on his comments about NXT and how he does not respect them, that he is far and away the best thing ever. I mean, he has a point to a certain extent, I suppose. If you look at the NXT brand, there really isn't anybody on it. Adam Cole, maybe. Johnny Gargano, maybe. That are at his level. So, yes, but it's not the point here. I mean, yeah, they're going head-to-head on Wednesday nights, but NXT is not really the same product as AEW. Is that they're a building brand for main roster guys, and that may change over time, but AEW has a smaller roster of people, and they're doing everything with what they can and what they have at their disposal to try to make it a huge show. They don't have much choice. They've got Omega, they've got Cody Rhodes, they've got the Young Bucks, they've got Jon Moxley, they've got Chris Jericho, but that's it. That's who they got. That's their main roster stars. At any time, if WWE wanted to, they could flood NXT with stars. So the point is kind of mute. I don't love the idea that Kenny Omega's trying to rub off as a heel in this way, because he's not only just disrespecting NXT, but he's disrespecting other wrestlers who are working their butts off to try to make it a popular product, and he's kind of being a dick about it. I guess that's the point, but I don't love it. I love what Lacey Evans did. I'm not a fan of what Kenny Omega's doing. So who knows where this is going to go, if he's going to keep doubling down on this. But for AEW, for all the things that they're doing right, the one thing I don't love is that they keep consistently saying there's no war, but yet they keep calling out WWE. They keep calling out NXT. They keep making comments about their competition. I think it's a bad move on their part. I think it's a silly idea to start that sort of thing. Just do your own thing. Do what you say you want to do, which is focus on yourself, not worry about them. But you can't do that and say the other things and have everyone believe you. So Omega needs to just either stop talking about it or call it what it is, which is a war, because that's what he's starting. A war on Wednesday nights between NXT and AEW. And if that's what you want, Omega, you better be cut. I'm not choosing NXT and WWE over AEW because I do like both. But if you want a war, man, that WWE may not be the one you want to go to war with here. NXT can at any time shift their direction and really stick it to you. And we've already seen some of that. You know, we've seen some of the ideas that the show on NXT will have fewer commercials, that they're going to move some people over there. Breezango showed up at the end of the last episode. There's some stars from WWE, maybe not as big as Omega, of course, but they're still recognizable names. So this is something you might want to be cautious of, you watching out for here, Omega, because it could come back to bite you in the butt. Speaking of AEW, there are two stories here involving Chris Jericho that we should probably touch on before we close it out this week. One is that he's trademarked a little bit of the bubbly that he's been so viral for over the last week and a half or so since losing the AEW championship outside of Longhorn Steakhouse, then getting it back and shooting these videos with these champagne bottles and celebrating and saying a little bit of bubbly. It's just kind of gone in a whole different direction. It kind of really reminds me of when Jeff Jarrett said slap nuts on TV, and then before you knew it, it was like, what? Everybody was all up. So a little bit of bubbly is huge. It's probably the biggest catchphrase in wrestling right now. Well, he's trademarking it. So that's one story with just Chris Jericho that's happened this week. The other story is that he put out a social media post that said, Walter, I'm just leaving this here, he says, Walter's the dumbest name in professional wrestling. Okay, good. Jericho, I'm good with you on the bubbly thing. I disagree with you wholeheartedly on the Walter thing, and maybe you're putting this out there so that people will disagree with you. You can just sort of stir the pot. Walter may be not the most original name. It's not a creative name necessarily, but just listen to when he comes out on an NXT UK program or an NXT program, the fans, just listen to the fans. They are constantly chanting his name, as they did with Goldberg. Everybody's all over this Walter thing. It's perfect for this guy. You can't bug the guy about that name, because he has taken it, what might have been a boring name, and he has turned it into a huge selling feature for him. He's hugely popular. He's a heel that everybody seems to love. They love chanting his name. They're all behind him. You're picking and kicking the wrong can on the road there, Jericho. So I'm with you on the little bit of bubbly. I'm totally not with you on the Walter thing. So for me this week, AEW is the real loser. The Kenny Omega promos I don't love. The Chris Jericho stuff I'm not a huge fan of. I guess the one good news is here is that they got the DC Comics partnership that they were promoting, and the Jericho picture looks pretty cool. So not much going on that I'm a huge fan of for AEW this week, but it is mostly about the WWE. So on that note, we're going to close the show because it is just me again. I know that it is not probably nearly as entertaining as the back and forth would be with someone like Brandon or another co-host for the week. So it's just me. I'm sorry that I might be the most, you know, not the most entertaining guy by myself, but yeah, with that said, don't forget, listen to the Smart Marks of Wrestling podcast on thesportster.com, anchor.fm, Podbean, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, download it, subscribe to it, YouTube, rate it, listen to it, share it with people, spread the news, spread the love for the podcast. We would greatly appreciate it. Check out any of the articles that we talked about today on thesportster.com. Go to Wrestling Write-Ups. You can take a listen to it there. And until next week, it may be me, it may be me and Brandon, it may just be Brandon. Don't really know yet, but this has been another edition of the Smart Marks of Wrestling podcast, episode 28. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you listening, and we will talk to you next week.